Hello, and welcome to Vacation Station, hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigLensMagazines.com.
Welcome to Big Blend Radio's second Friday Food, Wine, and Travel show. With the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association, every second Friday we air a conversation with a travel writer that is a member of the organization. Nancy and I love it because we get to go around the world. We get to talk travel writing. We meet awesome writers and photographers. And today we're very excited because we're going to go roaming with Roxy. Roxy LeFevre is a freelance travel writer and photographer. She has been to all seven continents and seen all seven wonders of the world, except for she hasn't met us in person yet. I'm just kidding. She's also been to over 40 countries. So I encourage you to go to her website. It's roamingwithroxy.com. That's R-O-X-I-E. And also, if you're a travel writer or a destination, I encourage you to go to the website ifwtwa.org, the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. We call them IFTWA. It's easier. And join, and also follow them on social media. Just use the hashtag IFWTWA, and you'll go all over the world. You can armchair travel and get planning for when you can go out again. So welcome, Roxy. How are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you for having me.
Hey, this is very exciting. I know you recently joined IFTWA, 3 months with the organization.
I have.
Yeah.
Only a couple years now being a freelance travel writer, but decided when I retired from being a government contractor that I was going to follow my passion and do what I really wanted to do.
Cool. Wow. Well, you seem to have seen a lot. I mean, did you start traveling within those 2 years, or have you always been traveling?
Oh, I don't know. For the last 10 years, I've been on almost 40 trips. So
cool.
It was a way to get away from being called back into the office when I went on vacation.
That's it. But what led you to say, hey, okay, I'm traveling, I'm having a good time, but I'm going to write about it and share my photography and get into that world?
You know, I always have written to friends and stuff about things and the photography, and a lot of people copied my photos from the trips and stuff. So it just became a natural adjustment for me, and I decided, well, I'm going to go learned from some experts, and I've been very fortunate. So, you know, I did all seven continents and love it, and I think you're now the eighth wonder, and I have to add you two to my bucket list.
Well, thank you. Just don't put us in the bucket, you know. But it's interesting when you say you want to learn about it. So, and that's something that's important when we talk about travel writing is there is a craft that goes with it. So tell us a little bit about how you started, like, okay, I'm going to write an article. What are the first steps to even doing a decent article and making sure your photos are fit for publishing? Tell us some of those steps that you did to build your career.
Well, I went to Great Escape Publishing and took their class and learned quite a bit from them. I actually went in person and took the social media courses and took the workshop and everything. So, but what it is if you're someone who loves to travel and you have a passion for it already, you know what attracts similar people. Because it's the same thing that you look for. So it's the experience. It's doing something different. It's getting to know the local cultures. It's traveling somewhere that a girl that grew up on a farm in Indiana would never think she would ever see.
By the way, Indiana is beautiful. We were there this January, February.
Oh.
We were there. And then we were there in September last year. Yeah. And we didn't get
beautiful
to do as much, but it's beautiful. We were in Indianapolis. It's beautiful. But, yeah, did it change for you traveling for pleasure and having a good time and exploring and, doing your bucket list, right, or wish list, whatever you want to call it, and then suddenly going, okay, and I'm going to write. Does it change your travel? Do you look through a different lens, literally, when you know somebody's going to be reading what you write about?
You do, because you pay more attention. You go, okay, I know I want to write a story from this angle, and I'm going to need the following types of photos, and then I want to write one from this angle. Mm-hmm. So Yeah, you have to plan a little bit more, and I find I take probably three times as many photos because you want them from multiple angles, and, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
It's not just for your own pleasure anymore.
Yeah. Mm. I know about taking too many photos. Trust me. We travel full time, so it's right. Nancy's like, okay, give me all the footage for the video, and I'm like, do I have to really go through all this?
You need it. When your computer tells you you have over 13,000 photos and you know you've been deleting some, it's a little scary.
See, I hate that. I don't want to delete anything. I want to save every single thing forever.
There you go.
We have a storage unit, and it's just a whole fancy slides of Africa and England.
There's like 60,000 slides in storage.
Mm-hmm. From way back when, where you had more biodiversity back then with the wildlife and stuff, so they're important. It's like Mount Kilimanjaro actually has snow, and so there's a historical thing. We just don't know what to do with them, and then someone has to scan them all in. And having all those things on your computer too, I lost a file like recently. Like it was one of those like you. I don't have to have it, but it was like some of the best scenes. It was the Grand Mesa of Colorado, this mountain pass. It's beautiful. It's just such a scenic byway. And it was right during COVID time, so no one was out. And so everything had really grown over, like all the views, all the scenic views that you go and pull over were all grassed over because no one had driven there. It was this other world experience, and Nancy was a 3-day panic and then found out, hey, you just pay a little bit for software that will extract it and find it for you. So you can extract. If you ever lose photos, there are places that will help you to do that. And
that's great.
Don't try to do it for free. It's easier, but I know that feeling, right? You ever have that feeling like when you delete that, I just deleted the lion kill.
Well, and you'll start to delete something now and draw, and then a message comes up and says, do you want to delete that everywhere? And I always go, no.
This is why we have closets.
So Nancy has been, ever since she knows that you're coming on the show, she's been Googling the Walk of Faith, the world's longest glass bridge in China. So I have to bring it up.
Oh.
And tell us about this.
In China? Oh, it's a huge long glass bridge that's over their version of the Grand Canyon. So it's interesting. Some of the people I was traveling with are, the biggest, burliest men. And they have height issues, and they're like, I don't know if I can do this. And I'd be like, I'm more claustrophobic when I have a concern, so this is perfect for me. I'm like, well, come with me, and I'll drag you along, But it's beautiful, and it's open, and, one of the strangest things I saw, just as a tidbit for interest, was in the middle of it, there's this guy doing yoga poses. And it's a Chinese guy, and I was just cracking up taking photos of him because it's like, my legs couldn't do that if I tried, But, yeah, it's just fun times when you go and you do something different. We also did the skywalk that hangs off the edge of one of the cliffs, which was really neat as well.
The glass thing, it's just that, I get, it's like a glass-bottom boat, and I would do that any day of the week.
Yep.
But even when you're in the boat and you're saying, like, I hope water pressure isn't really going to crack this glass.
I've done one, yep.
Yeah, and you're like, the fish are really cool. Then you see a shark, and you're like, oh, boy.
And then one of your smart aleck friends dives under the boat and comes up and knocks on the glass and scares the heck out of you.
Exactly. But the bridge thing, I look at it, and then I start reading, and they're talking about there's cracks in it, and this guy went to walk out, and as he put his foot down, the bridge cracked. I'm like,
you saw that video.
Oh, no.
I told you not to bring that up. But she's a mother, so she gets to say what she wants.
Well, I think, it's interesting. hey, listen, if you go outside, you can get knocked over by a car. If you go in the ocean, you could get, you know, munched on by a shark. If you do anything, something could happen, but wouldn't you rather do something than nothing? And from Roxy, from reading your bio and seeing your posts in your articles up on your website, roamingwithroxy.com, you seem to put yourself out there. And do you ever have any kind of fear, or you talk about claustrophobia, like would a submarine freak you out, and would you do it just to get past it? Just because?
Yeah. I can tell you that I've been on a submarine, and I fainted in the galley. And when I came to, they were, like, trying to shove my limp body up one of those little holes. So I had more bruises than I intended to by the end of that day, but I did do it.
Mm-hmm. Did you do it again? Maybe not.
Oh, sure, like, yeah.
You see, yeah. Like, I would not do the glass, but I would not, like, Nancy knows. I've driven pretty much every scary mountain pass in this country. No, there's more waiting for me. We haven't done Montana and Wyoming yet. It's coming. But I've done a lot of Colorado's, like, deadly highways, and I am a baby. I white knuckle. I will maybe stop the car and pee in my pants, and if I have to, I will. But I didn't.
Oh.
And I made us go through everything, but there's those things, those bridges that I have to put Bob Marley on to get through everything. But, I mean, how do you get through when you're scared or like, okay, you have to trust in, you know, you went, what is this? You went with an ultralight over the world's largest waterfall? Like, do you not like have to have this trust of this will get me there? Like this weird, like it won't happen to me, the bad thing, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah. Well, if it does, at least you went out with a great story, but you know. and the hang gliding off of the jumping off the side of the mountain in Brazil was amazing. But I'm tied to a professional, so it's like, you know.
Yeah,
he does that for a living.
You have to have some trust. I mean, anything can happen anytime. I mean, you know, like I was reading the story this morning about a plane that just crashed into this guy's car. You know, he didn't go out looking for planes. Let me, you know, there's a sky so it's safe to drive. Stuff happens, but it's not, you know, you can't not ever do anything because stuff happens. So.
But did he have snakes on the plane?
I don't know what made the plane crash, but it wasn't a good thing.
Sorry, I had to do that. But. So this is, you've been all over. Where have you not gone that you want to go to?
Oh, you know, I go back to Africa every other year, which you understand why since you've been there.
Oh, yeah, you have to.
I still want to see the polar bears up in Canada because I haven't done that. And I've tried to see the northern lights, but I haven't been able to catch them.
Oh.
You know, so I've slept in a glass igloo. I've slept in a snow castle. But the lights are elusive other than this one guy got it through his camera, and I'm like, no, I really want to see it in person.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of stuff I want to do. I have not done Russia yet, so I'd like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I've been, you know, like I said, Antarctica was wonderful. The Arctic Circle was wonderful. And
that's
I'm not
a
cold weather person,
mm-hmm.
but they were beautiful.
Yeah.
You just have to have the right clothes, you know?
Yes. You should stay in my closet.
Well, we are, you know, we're from the desert, like, you know, in Southern California, Arizona, that's our, you know, neck of the woods. In Florida, that's the three main states we've lived in this country. After living in Kenya, South Africa, we went to England and had to bail because it was just too cold. And England's beautiful. I love England. And Scotland and Wales, I love it. You know, and our ancestry there, like yours, too. And you know, but then this year, well, last year, excuse me, winter, we ended up in Madison, Wisconsin, and it snowed, a lot, and there was ice, and there was flying ice, and there was all kinds of things like that. And what we thought, a little mitten or, you know, just a jacket or two, some mix or stuff. No.
No.
No. Don't take what you know from another state and try to morph it into another one. It doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
So, yeah, I mean, the Antarctic, I think I'd have to really go to a specialist. Do you do that before you go to a place like that? Go to, like, a clothing specialist or a camping, like, hello, I'm going to be really cold, you know?
Well, Antarctica was actually over Christmas, and it was, like, 22 degrees, so it would have been, like, being at home, so no big deal.
Oh.
Wow. But the Arctic Circle was colder. I bought boots that went down to minus 148.
Wow.
Yeah, needless to say, I wore them one time and that was it. But, you know.
Wow.
I thought, there's no way my feet are going to be cold. You know, so.
Yeah.
And then you go to Antarctica and you just put on a pair of socks and you put on the wader type boots and they're not even that insulated and that's it. So you never know. You just read to see what their suggestions are or you talk to someone like me who's been and, yeah.
So, and I know you've been to South Africa like 5 times and we used to live there and traveled the entire country full time. For 2.5 years, we traveled with Nancy's artwork and raised money for the Cancer Association doing that. So we went to every park, every place, and I was reading that you're going back and everyone are going to have photos up on the website and everything for people to see. But you're going back to South Africa this summer in June and Mozambique. So, Are you nervous that they may turn around and say, okay, we're closing it down again because of COVID, or do you think it's going to be green light go?
It's time, you know, and I have been very conservative. I do know that in the next 2 weeks I'll get my first vaccine shot, so I'm fine there.
Mm.
So that will help protect. But when we go, I go with a closed group of people, and everybody is tested or has vaccine beforehand, and you play it as safe as you can, and you know, it's like being here. You can't stop doing everything, but you can use all the precautions.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, otherwise the world can't move forward, you know.
Exactly.
That's not going to solve the problem, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and this was a trip that was scheduled for a year ago, so it's been on delay.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll stay in, you know, safari camps, or we'll stay in lodges that we've been to before.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a real good idea of how safe it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're going to go to Mozambique, because it's a place Nancy and I have not done yet. And I know there's some unrest there right now. Do you think about that when you go to a place, if there's unrest, or you go, okay, I'm going in, but keep your eyes wide open? I mean, I know Nancy and I've done some, you know, I mean, we lived through it. So, yeah, west of different countries. But when you fly there, are you nervous or do you just kind of go for it?
Well, in this case, it's with a group where we've got our local guides with us and people that we've done business with before.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm traveling with a group called Adventures for Solo Travelers on that trip. And they've done this trip before. They know all the players and so forth. So as long as there's not some outbreak, you know, there shouldn't be any issue or anything that's going to change anything, I don't think.
You know, I've found local guides to be just a fountain of information, and they're on it. They know what's going on. And I trust most of them. I mean, I really can't think of a bad guide experience in other countries.
I haven't either. And some I've gotten just through emails back and forth where you talk to each other and so forth, and you learn the personality. But you don't just do one text or one email. You know, you do a Zoom call and you get to know them, and you check a couple references and you go on.
Mm. Exactly. I think I like it where you have a guide because they really are giving you more of a flavor of their life too. It's the unglossy version. You know what I mean? You can get to the nitty gritty. You become friends with them too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really do.
I'm still friends with from different countries, and you know, we're Facebook friends. We talk all the time.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you went to South Africa 5 times. I know you've been to Namibia, right?
Yep.
Any other African countries that you've been to?
Botswana, Zambia, Ethiopia.
Oh, cool. Mm. Oh, my gosh. That is so cool. Have you done Kenya yet?
I have not, and that's what everyone says to do, and, of course, I haven't done it.
You'll
get there. And when you go there, once that dirt gets under those nails, you're never not going to go back again. It's like a, you know, there it is the mama continent, I do believe.
It's the Garden of Eden.
It is the continent of just, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool that you've been and gone frequently. Is it the wildlife that attracts you, the people?
It's the wildlife. It's also meeting the different tribes. Like, mm-hmm. there's nothing like being out with the sand people and eating moth larvae and, you know.
Oh, yay.
Cooking beetles and, you know, drinking water out of an
bush pig butt, you know, whatever. Yeah. I remember Anthony Bourdain doing warthog, sorry.
You don't know what you'll come home with, yeah.
A lot of times you eat stuff, you go, this is really good, and then they tell you what it is.
Yeah. We used to eat flying ants in South Africa as kids.
Yeah,
whenever the rains came. Yeah, flying ants would go out, and you do them, and you fry them, and it's like peanut butter. Not like chicken, like peanut butter. But that was kid stuff, you know, you're like teasing each other and carrying on. But that's, you know, that's such a cool hazing period versus what happens now. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like over there, it's like, you eat this insect, you know. That was fun times, you know. It's like, here, eat some peanut butter. But I'm so excited for you to go. I can't wait to follow you as you travel and go back there. But also, I know you're going to Maine, and this is a state you've never been to. And all year,
mm-hmm.
last year, you know, because of COVID, they were really clamped down. Like, even Vermont was, you know, very strict. New York, very, very strict. And we're hoping to get there this year, too. But it seems you're going to go on a 150-year-old schooner.
Well, and believe it or not, this schooner is the only one of the main Windjammer line that actually ran all last year. So they were able to do it and protect no issues of COVID or anything. And when I met Captain Noah and was talking to him, and I was like, okay, what was your secret? How did you do that? And he says, well, on the Stephen Taper, it's a 150-year-old schooner. But because of the way it's designed, every cabin has its own door.
Mm.
So you're either outside in the air and you're wearing your mask, or you're in your own cabin and no one else goes in there.
Yeah.
Mm. Perfect.
And I'm thinking, okay, now that is very smart, because how more secure can you be?
Yeah.
So anyway, I was talking to him and asking about it, and they do all this gourmet food, and they bring in the wines to match it with. And the trip that I'm going on, they're also bringing chocolates, so we get chocolates every night. And it's like being, you know, floating around. We'll do it for 4 days with your own chef, you know, with all of unlimited wine, you know, all these chocolates. They're going to teach us how to cook.
Cool.
At one point, we will have a lobster, you know, boil on the beach, you know, and it's a small ship, so there's only like 20 passengers.
Hmm.
And I'm thinking, what an ideal way to get the pandemic out of your mind, you know, and just go and relax and have fun and, you know.
Yeah. I'm really glad you're going into Maine, because, like I was saying, I think they need the spotlight back on them, you know. You know, people have traveled within states. There's been, we've traveled 21 states during COVID. Safely, everybody. Don't send me the emails. I don't, you know, they're going to bounce back. Because we really were very, very safe. We're in parks, and if we were either pet sitting in a home, so we're like quarantined, and, you know, it's like we go to the grocery store, come back, we're walking in parks, staying social distance, and staying in bed and breakfast, which are incredibly, you know, and even, you know, hotels that you can connect with the actual owner, and see what they're doing. You know, I think it's really important as we all get back out into travel, which it is happening, is to find out what are people doing, you know, to keep you safe. And these kind of tours and like the boat trip, we went on a boat in Erie, Pennsylvania, and they like kept us all distanced. You couldn't, you know, when everybody lined up to get on or off, it was like, no, you will wait for this person. You will not, you know, you're distanced in the boat. I mean, people are taking precautions, you know, to make sure. And go ahead.
That's why, like, the main Windjammer group, because the others, didn't actually sail that much last year, so I wanted to get out early and, you know, experience one, write about it, tell people about it, and help them to fill the schedule. Because they're hurting just like everybody else is,
mm-hmm.
as far as, you know, they need people to come to the town, they need people to go out on the ships, they need,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah,
mm-hmm, sure.
They need attention. And I will be going around Camden, I will be going around Rockland as well, and hitting the area, but you should look up, just all you have to do is look up Maine Windjammer, and you can see these unbelievable trips with all different kinds of things. There's ones with regattas, there's ones with jazz music, there's one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and Captain Noah's so funny. He says, you know, we play guitar at night and we sing, and I'm like, yeah, what kind of music? He goes, well, you know, we've got some bluegrass, we've got some, you know, country, and I went, okay, yeah, but do you have classic rock? He goes, oh, I can do classic rock. And I said, okay,
cool.
You got me then.
All right. Well, listen, what was that Fisherman movie that we just watched with all of them singing? You can see
singing,
the sea
that was
shanties.
Great.
Yeah, yeah, the sea shanties. It was
mm-hmm.
so cool. You got to do
yeah.
that. Well, you've been in England. I mean, the pub songs are always a good thing, you know, pub songs
oh.
and pubs, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like the Irish ditties and everything, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Now, you've been to Ireland?
Not as much as Scotland. I actually have done the family history in Scotland and England
oh,
and
cool.
been all over. And in my past life, we actually ran the UK census for
wow.
the processing of it and so forth. So, yeah, I've been a little
no
bit
way.
Over there. But
wow.
Ireland, I fly through
wow.
Dublin, and I don't get off very often. So, you know, other than have
been,
a pint of Guinness.
Yeah, I think we've been through Dublin just on flights as well. But we didn't
mm-hmm.
do Ireland, and we didn't do the Isle of Man, which is a bummer because our family comes from Isle of Man, and we got witches and warlocks on that side. And then England,
oh,
we're from York, York, England. Yeah, witches, warlocks, and weirdos.
I'll be very nice to you then. Yes.
But it's so cool to do family history. Is that something, too, that, you know, when you travel, it's like, okay, I'm going to go see, you know, because we have a friend, Glenn Barrow, he's our family history expert for England. He comes on our show, and he has Norfolk tours. He takes people to go to their ancestral spots, like, hey, the great-great-great-grandmother's here. And whenever, as we travel, we look for English stories, and it's bizarre how many stories we're like, oh, we were here at Helen Hunt Falls in Colorado Springs. The author, Helen Hunt Jackson, that wrote Ramona, was a Native American activist and, you know, for their rights, and just an amazing woman. And he goes and looks her up, and he goes, oh, my gosh, my ancestors went to church around the corner. The church is still
yeah.
here.
Mm-hmm.
My ancestors went to church with her ancestors. It's like crazy
yeah,
stuff
crazy.
Like that. It's like, it's so, we're so close. Do you find that as you travel? Here you go on all these
oh.
different landscapes and countries and continents and different cultures,
mm-hmm.
but there's this, the more you
connection.
Travel further out, the closer we all feel, I feel. Like.
Oh, it's definitely a small world and sound even a little stranger. Sometimes I swear our ancestors are actually helping us because you
yeah.
get nudges every so often and you, like, accidentally come upon an area that you've been looking for and you wonder how that happened or it's just amazing. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I've found books that took my family all the way back to the 1400s in the libraries there in England. So you never know where you'll find it, but
yeah.
if you look, it's there.
You know, in San Francisco, a long time ago, I was walking down this one street and I heard William Shatner's voice say, come into the museum.
She still loves
cold.
William Shatner.
I know, and I heard his voice and I went in and I found my family,
mm-hmm.
the Holroyd family and this whole thing about the castle and the ghosts and all this stuff. And it's one of our answers was put to death, a woman, because
mm-hmm.
she used to sit in the courtyard in a rocking chair and feed the animals and talk to them. So they thought she was nuts and so, or she was a witch, and so they put her to death. I know, and I'm like, dude.
So this is a museum of the occult.
It's a museum of the occult, and there's my family. I'm like, okay, that's creepy. But it was so cool.
Yep. I had an ancestor beheaded, and they put his head on the pike.
No.
Over the entrance to Edinburgh, so yes.
Oh,
I understand.
No, Vladimir the Impaler.
Oh, dude. No, but Edinburgh, so Edinburgh Castle, that is one of my favorite castles on the planet. And those castles are freaky. Like, you get into the whole royals and the jewels and all of that, and then because you look at these, like, how do they even, you know, these crowns and the cloaks of jewels and all of that stuff. I remember as a kid being, like, blown away. I had, like, a postcard collection of all the castles that we went to. But then you go in the dungeons and, No.
This is funny. There's this light side to our conversation, then there's this underlying dark side.
I know, it's an interesting conversation. There's like, here, let's, like, you know, jump off of a bridge and then let's go in a dungeon. But then but I find that, like, no matter how freaky it is, like, it's cool. Like, you know, when you're hiking and you almost step on a snake, there's like this adrenaline rush that lets you know that you're alive. And I think that is part of, like, what we share with you is this travel and adventure and putting yourself in places you shouldn't, or maybe you should, because it makes you feel more alive. I find that travel is an addiction of being alive versus boxed in. Yeah.
And you find that all of your family and friends and, you know, the people you went to high school with all travel along with you. So you're not just opening your own eyes, you're opening everybody else's eyes as well.
I know. Yeah. At first they all think you're crazy, and then they start asking, like, hey, what happened over here?
How can I do that? Yeah.
Well, I just feel like the world is more peaceful when people travel and communicate without newspapers and politicians and all that on a one-to-one basis.
The thing I always say is, you know, if you put the governments aside, the rest of us just want to have family, kids, food, roof, you know.
Yeah. And talk to each other. You know, it's the movement of money, I guess, maybe, that inspires inspires politicians to be politicians.
Well, yeah. And I won't just badmouth politicians. It's just anybody who has tried to influence a group of people along the way, whether it was, you know, large families or churches or communities or whatever. Yeah, they're all trying to convince you to go a certain direction versus letting you do your own thing.
Yeah,
so right or wrong, it is what it is, you know.
Snake oil. I think it's because we're herd animals, and everybody wants to be a leader.
Yeah, but we're also part monkey. I won't go into that.
Oh,
boy. When you were talking about you're taking your friends with you, your high school friends, all the way, you know, your family and people, you know, do you find now, like, as a travel writer versus traveling without having to write, right, that you're just free to do whatever you want? Like, to me, this, my personal thing is, having this career of photography and writing and publishing and doing all that, purpose to your travel, like, I feel like I actually see way more than when I was just vacationing. And vacationing is just like, it kind of slips through your fingers. You have an experience that goes through. Do you feel like you've got more of a purpose and feel like you're experiencing travel even stronger now that you're writing and sharing?
I understand what you're saying. I guess the way I would phrase it, yes, there's a purpose. Yes, there's a message to get out. But it's because I realize how much those experiences changed my life. And I want other people to have the opportunity. If they can't go and be there directly, which I would love for them to, just follow right along, come on the next trip after me or whatever, but, or at least have the opportunity to experience and see it and know that it's real and hear it from somebody else's voice.
I agree with you on that, because I think it's, not everyone's going to get everywhere. Some people are always going to stay in their neighborhood, or everybody's got a different financial circumstance, right? So our shared travel is still great because you're still learning, and you're learning from someone who's there, going there, what they're doing. Travel writers,
we are journalists. It's
yes.
Rarely that word travel journalism, that term is rarely used. And but you are there. This is what we saw, and it's more than a selfie on an Instagram.
You know, I very rarely do selfies. I'm really bad at them.
I would
we
never
don't.
Do it at
we
all.
We have a pink sock monkey called Priscilla that she's been like, and she's been put away because of COVID, because we don't want people touching and surfaces and all
yeah.
that mm-hmm. stuff. But she goes around and her photo gets and everything because we don't know. No, no, no. We live out of a suitcase. No one needs to see that.
No, but it's not really about us. It's about where we are. You know,
exactly.
So we kind of try to back off on, you know, me, I, this, you know. We really, you know, it's really more reporting on what we see more than us.
Otherwise, it's a family history, and that's not what we're writing. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It becomes a high school journal. Yeah. So I've got to go back to South Africa. Where are you going? Where are you going in South Africa? Like, what's on the agenda for South Africa and Mozambique?
Yeah, for South Africa, we're flying to Johannesburg, but our first stay is going to be, there's a safari camp that's over by Kruger. And then we'll also hit the Hippo Hollow over by Kruger, and of course do a couple game drives. Have you been to Hippo Hollow? Kruger is one of those places that everybody has heard about. A lot of people go to, and I've been to a lot of different areas. But I will say the one thing about Kruger, it's the only place that I ever in one day saw all big five in just one day. So normally, you know, the elusive leopard, and it takes forever to find and all that stuff. And it took me several trips, but I saw them all. So I'm happy to be going back. And in Mozambique, we go to Vildo Paraíso basically paradise. And it's where we're going to all have individual houses. So there'll be up to 8 people in a house, but we'll have our own butler.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
And we'll be on the beach, and he helps make the meals and everything. So you can do all the water activities if you want, or you can, you know, ride horses on the beach or do the quad biking or whatever. Or, you know, it's just a great time to relax and enjoy. And like I said, clear the cobwebs out that have been hanging around for the last 12 months.
It's a COVID cobweb.
It's a Hippo Hollow. I'm thinking
of Hazy.
I know now. I went
Hazy.
Back.
Yeah,
no, Hazy.
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 Huh? Yeah, Hazy.
Hazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we were there, but not. We didn't do exactly Hippo Hollow. But
no,
Hazy.
We were in Hazy. No, there's two Hazy views. There's a Hazy view in the Cape, and it was a Protea hotel. This was like, I'm talking about in the early 80s, mid 80s, late 80s.
No, this
you
is
know,
not
that,
the
that
was,
I'm, oh man, I don't know. Forget it. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Just somebody call me a glass of wine.
But
I
just think in Hippo Hollow, I remember
Hippo, I remember being
it
where you see him
in
the water.
But it is in Hazy
going,
View,
it's in the Transvaal, it's not in the Cape, Lisa, it's in the Transvaal.
No, no, but there's another Hazy View that we were in, which was near, it's a hotel name, that's what I'm thinking, is that there's a hotel name, and that's where we got sick. It was in an agricultural area, and they switched the water lines, and we got really, really sick.
Don't you dare jinx me,
I'm not jinxing you.
Stop
it. No, I'm not. No, it was totally a separate entity, totally separate. But, yeah, the Hippo thing, I remember being able to go down underwater in this little area, like an underwater gazebo, like a, you know, you have bird blinds and everything, and you could see the hippos underwater.
Swimming. It
floating
was so
around.
Cool.
And I'm thinking that should, unless I'm thinking Kenya, but I remember going to it was like Hippo Springs or something.
That was in Zima Springs.
Zima Springs, yeah, maybe I'm seeing that.
Yeah.
But you could go down into this little thing, and you could see the hippos in their little watery area, and you could, and they're big.
And still be safe, which is nice, yes.
Okay, can I just say this hippo story from when I worked with Joy Adamson, and she told me
to go down this cliff, and there were hippos in this river. This is in Kenya. So I was very new, had never been to before. So let me just go down the cliff and go sketch. She said, go sketch the hippos. So I took my charcoal and sketched that. And I climbed down the cliff, and I went and sat on the banks of the river where the hippos were yelling and screaming and carrying on. And the next thing, I didn't know they could run.
Oh, yeah, fast.
I had no idea. And this hippo, actually, when I think back, gave me several warning signs, which I didn't compute. The hippo came out of the water like in three huge leaps. And ran after me, and I'm like, I could barely get up in time, and I'm running, and now I'm crawling up the cliff, and the hippo is coming, and she's at the top of the thing going, ha ha.
She's laughing?
She's laughing. Seriously, and I remember how close that, I could feel its breath. I was like, holy.
But Nancy went through a lot of learning, and for those that don't know, Joy Adamson is the subject of the movie Elsa the Lion, and she's the Elsa the Lion Lady. Virginia McKenna is the actor, but Joy Adamson, and that's who Nancy worked for in Kenya. And, you had to sit blind and naked, you know, blindfolded and naked on the rock to learn how to smell and sense animals. I mean, she did weird. It was crazy. It was a crazy time frame. But have you been charged by an animal when you were out there in the bush?
Have I?
Yeah.
No. I mean, we've had the little elephants that, you know, try to show how brave they are and wave their ears and snort at you.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
And we have had elephants, large ones, that have come up and you're breathing as shallow as you can, trying not to make any noises. They check out your Jeep because you know.
Yes. They start pushing it if they want to.
Yeah.
Inch up and all of a sudden you're like, uh-oh.
Do you remember the feeling of when you're first out on safari and you see your first lion or cheetah or elephant, like the giraffe, that feeling of like, oh my God, this is real? Do you remember that feeling of going from pictures in a book to seeing it and just being there?
I do.
Mm.
And you know, the adrenaline races and you... Mm-hmm. You're, like, pinching yourself. I mean, it's just so cool. But it was also a very cold and chilly morning, so I was bundled up as best as I could. Because you think it's always going to be warm and hot, but it's cold in the morning.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, it's interesting because I always thought that cats would be the scariest. And, you know, they're sleeping during the daytime, so they're not that scary, actually. You can go up and be fairly close. Without bothering their sleep, and then you're just waiting for them to raise their head. But what I do like, it's the elephants when they come up to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're curious.
And, yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. And I have learned that you have to be extremely quiet when rhinos are around because they can't see a thing. So if they hear something, they just charge towards it. You've got to be careful.
I learned that they always charge in a straight line. So I know that when one starts and you can see, they nod their head three times, you move the car because they're going to go straight where you were, not where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do. They just, once they start in a straight line, they don't twist and turn so much. They just, it's funny.
They're like a big Navy aircraft carrier. They don't turn well.
No. Well, good thing though, huh?
I'm excited for you to go back and to also watch from Mozambique because I want to go to Mozambique and I want to see baobab trees. I miss baobab trees and you know, get them in Africa, in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
More of a different part.
And do you like amarula?
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, are you kidding me?
From the marula trees? Yeah.
Oh yes, absolutely. We have a good friend, Rondi, that is. She was a game warden. Her husband was game warden. She went to Africa, South Africa. Her sister, her twin sister, had a dream of going to South Africa. Well, That didn't happen for the twin sister, but Rondi went with her boyfriend, went there, met a game warden, and dumped her boyfriend and moved in and got married to the game warden. And when we were on tour in South Africa, we swear we met her because she ran like a curio shop at the park. And we swear we met each other, and we're like, we connected in Arizona when we lived out there, and we go hiking together and everything, and we have these stories of like, you know, we call them when we stories, like, you know, if you're an expat or whatever, when we were here, when we were there, when we did this, you know,
we
have these stories of, because we were all living, you know, as, you know, not being South African, but living there and learning the cultures, learning the customs, and just, you know, it's different. And so we were there, but it's interesting just going back to, you know, those stories of what it was like and the feeling of, I don't know why, but I got tripped out now. I'm all like thinking about our hiking with Rondi. But, you know, it's a cool, I don't know, you meet people that are really cool over there once you get over there, and I don't know, it's something will always be in your blood, and it's obviously you do, but Mozambique is something we haven't done, Botswana, we crossed over from the Kalahari into Botswana and Namibia when we were in the Kalahari Desert, and it snowed there.
That's stupid, but we did it.
Did you like the Kalahari?
Oh my God!
The Makoland
with all the flowers.
We saw an ostrich walking down the coastline.
That was a
pattern. Walking through the surf.
Yeah,
that was so weird. And then we saw lions walking through the snow in the Kalahari, and we're like, dude, this is nuts.
It was like a very thick frost. The Kalahari is. Have you been? If you've been in Namibia, have you done the Kalahari?
I did Botswana as well, so yes, I've done the Kalahari. And Namibia, I was thinking one of the unusual things for there is Skeleton Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So we flew in the little planes, and where you go down lower than you're ever supposed to really be in a little plane and fly over the coast, and you see all the shipwrecks and everything, and just, it's amazing.
The shipwreck coast, that's what they used to call it, right? The shipwreck coast?
Yeah.
We haven't done that. We just crossed over when we were in the Kalahari Desert on the South African side, and we just kind of drove over and went, we're being naughty, get back over. And
we're like, oh, yeah.
And we did see a check. A cliff springer try to mate with the border post, because there are these little white border posts.
Remember that.
And he tried to mate with it over. I mean, we're like sitting there going, this fits, you know, the same kind of markings. Doesn't mean, but apparently. But, the Kalahari is cool. But Namakoland, have you done that? Namakoland?
I have not.
My God, the wildflower season. It's like the desert of California and Arizona desert. The wildflowers. We hit that right at the right time. And it's kind of unpopular. Like, it's kind of a quiet thing. It is magical.
It's amazing.
You can get out there and hit that at the right time. But yeah, there's so much. I mean, Africa, we could talk about Africa forever and never finish it because there's so much to do. But I want those baobab trees. That's what I'm missing. And that and those big weaver bird nests. Nancy and I, where we are in Austin as we record, we have all these grackle birds around us, and they remind us of minor birds. And we were just talking about, like, you remember the big weaver bird nests out in the trees, those huge, huge colonies. Well, thank you for making us homesick.
I'm so sorry about that.
We get to follow your adventures, and I know I had a story about Rondi and something, but anyway, I don't know what it was, but I'll remember one day. But I know she'll be following your adventures too, and we will too. We're going to be excited to watch your adventures to South Africa, Mozambique, and then also going to Maine, the coast of Maine, and doing the Windjammer. That's on a 150-year-old schooner. Everyone, you'll see the photos up on blendradioandtv.com. We'll be posting it there and featuring it in the spring-summer issue of Big Blend Radio and TV magazine, so stay tuned for that. And most important is keep up with Roxy, roamingwithroxy.com. That's R-O-X-I-E for Roxy. Have you done any of the webinars through the IFTWA? I know you're new there, but have you done any of their events yet?
I've done a couple because Corey Sullivan is just great. She pulled me into all of that stuff. But,
Cool.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, they've done a lot. It's a wonderful organization.
Yeah.
They do a lot.
you know, COVID, everybody went into shock in the travel community, right? We're like, what? I mean, the world went into shock, and then, but the tourism and the hospitality industry, travel writers were all like, what? But they really pulled out all the stops in these webinars and getting people, you know, winemakers are like doing wine podcasts and
yep.
webinars.
And shipping wine to you, which doesn't hurt.
Never.
I like
never
that.
Happened. I need to have some wine so I can remember the story I was going to say. But everyone, keep up with Roxy. It's roamingwithroxy.com. She's also on Facebook and Instagram under the same name, on Twitter at with Roxy. It's at with Roxy there. Keep up with the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association and join them. They're an awesome organization. It's ifwtwa.org. Of course, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. And we're going to close with some music. And since Roxy is going to South Africa, we have to play music from one of our favorite South African musicians, James Saunders, and we're going to play Fish Fever. And we're also playing Fish Fever because you're going on the Windjammer, and you're going to be in the coast where there's fish and lobster. So I have to put the two together.
All those South African wines you're about to experience.
I'm a little
now
jealous.
I really feel homesick.
I know. So here it is, Fish Fever from James Saunders. You can keep up with him on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and he's got awesome music. So here it is, Fish Fever. Thank you so much for joining us, Roxy. It's been a real pleasure.
My pleasure.
You take care and enjoy your next great adventure and going beyond that comfort zone because you do it really well.
Thank you so much.
Drag runs.